Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to the best of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. Today's program was originally broadcast on September the 7th, 2013. Now do stay tuned, because at the end of the program, we have some new content for you. Well, hello, friends and listeners, and welcome to another edition of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. I'm Keith Perron. It rarely happens that television and radio broadcasters can pinpoint jamming. It's very rare indeed. But the Qatar-based Al Jazeera network has done just that. They said on their website, Al Jazeera can categorically state that Egyptian authorities are deliberately jamming its satellite signals and forcing it to change frequencies so viewers can tune in. Now, many foreign media outlets in Egypt right now have been targeted by the authorities, Al Jazeera more so. This is what they had to say this past week on their television service.
After the military coup in Egypt, Al Jazeera became one of several media outlets which have come under increasing pressure. International journalists have been detained, beaten, even killed. Television stations have been shut down. But Al Jazeera has been especially targeted. Our offices were raided several times, our journalists arrested, and even our satellite signals were jammed. Now, according to our panel of experts who've conducted an in-depth investigation, Al Jazeera has learned of several locations centered around the Egyptian capital where the jamming originates. Our trackers have pinpointed locations east and west of Cairo, specifically identifying military installations. Well, let's start with the first location. We'll call this Point A. It's west of the capital and situated on the Cairo-Alexandria Desert Highway. Well, our team of experts say the jamming is coming from a 1.6-kilometer radius in this location. It's mainly desert land and close to the An-Nathroum Valley prison. On July the 5th, 2 days after the military coup that ousted President Mohamed Morsi, the jamming started from this point on Al Jazeera's frequency on ArabSat. Here's Point B. It's eastern Cairo along the Cairo-Suez Highway. Well, at first glance, it just looks like a bit of desert land. Once you zoom in, you'll see a building in the middle of the desert equipped with satellite antennas and a telecommunications tower. It's also annexed to a large military installation. Here's a close-up of the building we're talking about. There you go. Well, our investigators found jamming from this location began on the 7th of July and was focused on Al Jazeera's Nilesat frequencies. The interference is still ongoing as we speak. Let's take you to the third location. It's an area of eastern Cairo called Heliopolis, a densely populated area, as you can see. Our 1.6-kilometer radius here lies on the junction between Airport Road, Athoura Street, and Al Marghani Street. Now, within this zone, we find numerous and important military installations, including the military intelligence headquarters, the army's public relations department, and its orientation department. The interference from this location also began 48 hours after the military coup and targeted Al Jazeera's frequencies on ArabSat. Now let's show you one of the most telling revelations. We'll call this Point D. It's also on the Cairo-Suez Highway. Again, let's circle in on our 1.6-kilometer radius. Once again, we find yet another military installation, but this one dwarfs the others in size. Well, it's clear from these satellite images this area is an exclusive military zone. The roads are all marked by Google Earth as martial passages, which means they're completely off-limits to civilians. In sync with other jamming operations on July the 5th, the interference from this base once again targeted our frequencies on ArabSat. Well, based on the team of independent investigators and on internationally recognized maps, it's clear the common link in all of these locations is the presence of military facilities.
That was Al Jazeera reporting on how their television satellite signal on Nilesat and ArabSat is being jammed by Egyptian authorities. This is a story that we're going to pay more attention to, and as it develops, report on it then. Now let's do a bit of an update on a story that we covered a few months ago. A number of months ago, it was reported that English frequencies for the BBC World Service, Voice of America, and Radio Australia were being jammed by China. This is unusual because traditionally, China will jam frequencies in Chinese, Cantonese, Tibetan, and Uyghur. Now, what is interesting about what was happening with the English frequencies is they weren't jamming frequencies in English, maybe that were targeting China, but instead targeting hours of broadcast in English that were targeting other areas of the world, mainly Southeast Asia and Africa. Yes, China was interfering with broadcasts to Africa from Botswana because they were being picked up in China. Well, the Voice of America, BBC World Service, and Radio Australia all condemned this action. The VOA has taken measures to change some of its frequencies, including the BBC World Service. To find out more, we're now joined by Victor Gunatelica for an update on this story. Victor.
The BBC, to start with, the BBC is using two frequencies to South Asia, and one is completely jammed out. It's hardly usable. So they had to do something. And it's very interesting what they did. They started using Tashkent. And from Tashkent, the information I have, I like to credit it to Glenn Hauser, 131 degrees, beaming 131 degrees, that's almost direct south from Tashkent, to South Asia to India, and on a narrow beam, which would give hardly any signal in China, and put in a good signal in South Asia. So the BBC appears to be, you know, in a way, going along with China. Okay, we won't send an English signal to China, but we want to reach our big audience in India, in South Asia. So we've done this, more or less, you know. So at the moment, the Tashkent operation is from 1 to 2 hours UTC, and 15 hours to 17 hours UTC. So 2 hours in the evening and 2 hours and 1 hour in the morning. And strangely enough and interestingly enough, the two frequencies are not being jammed.
Now, do we know yet if this signal is being heard in China?
Well, I don't know. I would appear, you know, Keith, the Chinese are very fast. They find things just in a matter of hours. And this has been going on for almost 2.5-3 weeks now. And it has escaped jamming. So I feel maybe the signal is not strong enough in China for them to jam it.
Or they probably realize that it's, you know, because of all the other jamming they do, to jam a signal that is maybe, you know, too weak, too much of a problem.
You know, Keith, an interesting thing is China, you're talking about signals which are strong enough or whatever, 4930, it's out of Botswana to South and Central Africa, VOA English, NetB, your favorite African service.
Right.
And that's getting jammed. That's getting jammed around 1900. Obviously, propagation is good, and China is picking it up. So, you know, they're very serious about jamming whatever is heard in China at fairly good strength.
Mm-hmm. All right, Victor, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And I was speaking there with Victor Gunatelica at his home in Sri Lanka, talking about the maneuvers the BBC has done to get around some of the interference caused by China for frequencies targeting Southeast Asia and Africa. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International.
You can hear PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news, talk, and entertainment mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher from the App Store. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
I want to take a little bit of time to talk to you about an interesting antenna that I got 2 weeks ago, and I've been playing around with it and giving it, well, a good run-through, shall we say. It's an active antenna. This is an antenna that I discovered from many of our listeners in Japan who write us for our Sunday transmissions to Southeast and East Asia. Many Japanese shortwave listeners and DXers use an antenna made by Sony called the ANLP-1. Now, I'm sure that many of you have seen this antenna on eBay and other sites for sale. It is rather expensive. It's between $100 and $150, depending on where you buy it from. Now, this antenna has been on the market for quite some time. So before I got it, I decided to read some reviews that were already out there. Our good friend Thomas Witherspoon, who has a shortwave site, did a review about it, and he wasn't too hot on it. And when I contacted him through his site, I said, well, you know, the antenna has changed, and it actually has changed. So let's get into a little bit about it first, okay? And then I'll tell you what is different about the new version now. It is an active antenna. That's right, an active antenna. It uses two AA batteries to power the little box so you can tune it to what frequency you're listening to. It has very wide shortwave coverage from 3.85 megahertz all the way to 21.95 megahertz. Now, the little box that has the power and standby mode and the frequency selector is quite interesting because if you're listening to something, let's say, at 6 megahertz in the 49 meter band, you just put it to 6. If it's the 31 meter band, you can put it to 10 to 10 megahertz. And it's very easy to use. It's just a little wheel and it spins. The antenna itself, which folds up neatly into a carrying case, opens up like a pizza. Or the best way to describe it, you've probably seen photographers before when they're on location and they want to use natural light. They have these reflectors that they rotate, open up, and then they can reflect the sun anywhere. That's basically how it opens up and folds away. It's made of cloth in the center, and then there's the loop, and then a junction box at the bottom where you pull out a cable that is inside this little tuning box, and you plug it in. Now, first, what is different about this one? Well, Thomas Witherspoon, when he reviewed the antenna, he got it a number of years ago and wasn't impressed because he said all it did was amplify the noise. And yes, that was a problem with the first ones that were coming out. But nowadays, the new ones include a filter. Yes, a filter, which plugs into the junction box on the loop antenna itself, and then you plug the cable into it at the bottom. So this does make a big difference. How big a difference, do you say? Well, I decided to record a station off shortwave, a station that is normally not clear at this time of the day in this part of Asia, and that's Radio Australia, broadcasting on 9475 kilohertz. First, let's take a little listen to how it sounds without the audio filter. Well, there we go. That's how it sounds without the audio filter, picking up noise from all kinds of sources, from LED lights, fluorescent lights, computers, televisions, and everything else. Now let's listen to the same thing again with the audio filter.
The fall in growth and the currency slide come at a bad time for the current government. India is due to go to the polls early next year, and here elections are historically run with rural votes.
This has only happened.
Big difference, right? Well, you're saying to yourself, that signal's not very strong. Well, that signal is not strong to begin with at this time of day, but you can see how it reduces the noise. So this is, of course, a major improvement over the first editions of this antenna that they issued a number of years ago. It is an antenna that is rather difficult to find. I've only been able to find it from retailers in Japan and a few retailers overseas, but for some reason, the version that they sell overseas doesn't have this audio filter, which is very odd, don't you think? The other nice thing about it is the design. It's very easy to use, it's very light, very compact, and when you fold everything together, it goes into its nice carrying case, so it's very easy to put in your suitcase when you're traveling. And if you're at home, well, you can leave it strung up. And actually, I have to admit, the antenna itself is quite beautiful, actually. Looks like a pizza hanging somewhere. Now, I do like this antenna, but I should warn you, if you are planning to buy it, you need to take a few things into consideration. Now, Sony itself said that this antenna should not be used on the ICF SWL77, the ICF SW10, and the ICF SW11. After doing a little further investigation, I wondered why this antenna is not suggested for those receivers. Well, this is the problem. If you have a shortwave receiver that is highly sensitive, meaning you can use the whip antenna and pick up stations all around the world with very little noise, this antenna is going to overload that radio and just create noise. So when I was looking for a receiver to use it on, I was going through almost everyone that I had. I tried my Texan PL660, overloaded. I tried my Sanjin ATS909X and my 909, same problem. My Sony ICF 2010, also overloaded. But I did have one shortwave receiver that didn't have that issue, and that was a Texan radio, the PL390. It doesn't have very good shortwave reception to begin with. It is a nice little radio, but for sensitivity on shortwave, it is quite lacking. After I connected this radio up, it was a completely different story, as we just heard in the two clips that I played a moment ago. So this is one of the things that you have to consider if you're going to buy an active antenna. There are a number of other ones on the market that range in price from $12 to $20 and either have the Deegan or Texan name on it. It's the same antenna. Of course, it's a lot cheaper and it's a lot more difficult to operate. This one, of course, is very easy to operate, but the price is a little hefty. But if you do have the money to spend on a good active antenna, I would suggest it. But first, check your radio. Check to see that your radio is not a very sensitive radio. Otherwise, all you're going to do is create noise. Okay, now let's rate this antenna. If you do have the money to spend, I say go ahead. But do check your radio first. Because if you're going to spend around $125, all you're doing is buying a noise generator. And that would, of course, be quite wasteful. If you do have a radio, by the way, that is sensitive, the whip antenna or just even stringing a piece of wire is enough. There's no need for this. But if you have a radio that is lacking in sensitivity, but you don't want to replace the radio, and your radio is a decent price, then I would say go ahead and buy it. Overall, I am very happy with it, and I'm very happy with the amplifier or the device that connects to the coupler on the antenna that reduces outside interference. So this is actually a nice thing that they've added to it. I still have no idea why they're not selling this part as part of the antenna overseas. If you want more information about this antenna and see what it looks like, you can visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and in the news section, you'll see a video review of this antenna very soon. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. And by the way, you are listening to the best of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. Now, on our best of programs, we've been bringing you, of course, some new content, which is one of the things, actually, that we have right now. One of the hallmarks of the Trump era has been the attacks on the media. The press has had a revered role in American society, dating back to the American Revolution. But it's under attack like never before. As the North America correspondent for the ABC, Connor Duffy, has found out, that poses unique challenges for journalists.
You know, CNN, fake news, MSNBC, you know, that's really the enemy of the people.
For reporters in the Trump age, it's a familiar insult. Travel anywhere in Trump counties, and even as you try to tell supporters' stories, you're bound to get criticized, like this American reporter in Florida.
Get your down there and you interview her. Give her the respect she needs. If you're not here to interview military, leave. You're here about Hillary Clinton. We're here about Trump and our military.
I'm here about Trump as well. No, you're here about Johnson because
you don't have a heart.
The odd thing is that America is actually a great place to report. The First Amendment free speech protections give a presumption in favour of media access that makes our working lives easier on a daily basis. President Trump, though, is eroding that with comments like this.
It's time to expose the crooked media deceptions and to challenge the media for their role in fomenting divisions. And yes, by the way, they are trying to take away our history and our heritage. You see that.
The media has long been part of that history and heritage. One of my favourite museums in Washington, D.C. is the Newseum, which, among many other things, documents the role the press played in assisting American revolutionaries. Five-time Emmy Award-winning anchor Mike Walter, who works at CGTN America, says the Founding Fathers intended the media's watchdog role to be part of the fabric of American society.
Freedom of the press clearly was important to the people who created this nation, and it's been that way forever. I mean, there's no other profession that's, protected in the Constitution. So I think even the founders understood the importance of a free press and the role that it plays in keeping, a government going the way it should. I mean, it kind of, our job is to speak truth to power and kind of put their feet to the fire. So it's vitally important.
Contrast that with this often repeated line from President Trump.
These are really, really dishonest people, and they're bad people. And I really think they don't like our country. I really believe that.
Recently, the museum came under fire for continuing to sell Make America Great Again hats and merchandise. After a backlash, they withdrew the items from sale, something I think could fan the flames of hostility from President Trump's supporters. Mike Walter says the president's unconventional attacks leave the media unsure about how to cover the president, even down to describing whether or not he's lying.
Kind of the problem for journalists is how do you report on an untraditional president, which he is. I think you see every variation. You see a lot of them taking him on. You see others just kind of playing it straight. And I think kind of, we're in uncharted territory. And I think journalists are trying to figure out how to navigate this territory as well. We do see, the Washington Post recently with a fact checker said that the president lied. You know, and I think a lot of times journalists don't want to say that. They say untruth or well, he's fudging the facts and that sort of thing. And I'm not sure how that's going to play either.
Added to this is the fragmentation of the media, with CNN and MSNBC trying to cater to a more left-wing audience, while Fox News is a comfortable home for conservatives. This ability to label hard truths fake, even if they are just something you disagree with, is increasingly making it harder for the traditional journalistic role of speaking truth to power. Mike Walter says the combination of a president on the attack, at the same time this media trend is accelerating, is a dangerous combination.
You know, you continue to report the news, but then people say, well, no, it's fake. You know, it's not real. And the other thing that we have here in the U.S. that I think is also disquieting is we have different news networks that kind of cater to different points of view. And so what they cover a lot of times, I mean, you can watch, I get off the air some nights and I'll walk by a bank of television monitors and, you know, you might watch on CNN or MSNBC about the coverage of the Cohen indictment or the Cohen plea, I should say, and the Manafort verdict. And yet on Fox News, it'll say the dangers of the two-tier judicial system, you know, and they're talking about something entirely different. So, you know, when you mix all of that in and then you throw in the president claiming fake news, you have a lot of, I think, confused citizens who don't even know where to go for the news. And then when they do hear things they don't want to hear, well, they say, well, it's simply not true.
The president's message about the media clearly resonates, though, and shows journalists have a trust gap to bridge with at least part of their audience. Mike Walter witnessed the September 11 attack on the Pentagon and says some media consumers will never be satisfied.
Well, you know, I'd like to say it's extraordinarily unusual, and obviously it is when it's the President of the United States, but the fake news, you know, in terms of those kinds of claims, I've been a victim of it for more than a decade. You know, on 9/11, I saw the jet go into the Pentagon, and shortly after, all the conspiracy theories began to flourish. And, I mean, I just got a tweet probably a couple of months ago from somebody who said, you know, how does it feel having the blood of the innocents on your hands, you know, lying about what happened on 9/11, or does your cushy job make it okay? So I've been listening to this kind of fake news drumbeat for years and years and years.
Those grievances have never been fanned by a sitting president, and the unique reporting challenges will continue as Donald Trump promises to continue adding to the fire.
When the media lies to people, I will never, ever let them get away with it. I will do whatever I can that they don't get away with it. They have their own agenda, and their agenda is not your agenda.
And that report looking at the media under the presidency of Donald Trump came to us from Connor Duffy. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed this edition of the Best of Media Network Plus, as well as the new content that we do present on the program. If you have any comments or questions, do get in touch with us, pcjmedia@gmail.com. So on behalf of the whole team here at PCJ Radio International, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you all, saying so long, take care. We'll see you again very soon. 73 and 88 to the ladies.